Thank you, Professor Vincent, for inviting me today for speaking about the etiopathogenesis of NOMA. It is a difficult and also a neglected story. But before entering into etiological considerations, let me briefly describe the natural history of this disease. NOMA doesn't start with these typical facial lesions. Rather, it progresses through different stages. First, NOMA is preceded by another lesion. It is the acute necrotizing gingivitis, which is characterized with gingival pain, spontaneous bleeding, and gingival ulceration, as you can see in these two pictures. Acute necrotizing gingivitis is present in Western countries too, but it affects only young adults in association with tobacco consumption, drug abuse, stress, or immunodeficiency. It never affects children. This is not the same in Africa. You have on this table two studies undertaken in Nigeria, where you can see that the prevalence of ANG in Nigeria is not the same in children less than 12 years old of the prevalence that you have in the USA. And moreover, you can see in these two studies that the prevalence varies. Why? Because the first study was undertaken in the southern part of Nigeria, where some medical facilities exist. The second study was done in the north part of Nigeria, the poorest region of the country. So we can say that the prevalence of ANG in Africa seems to be a poverty relation condition. The ANG can be treated with professional dental hygiene and sometimes with antibiotics. But if it isn't treated, in some children, the ANG spreads to the surrounding tissues, destroying the alveolar bone and the attached mucosa. We speak here about necrotizing stomatitis. When this necrotizing stomatitis is accompanied by a facial edema in the corresponding facial region, we are confronting the first proper stage of NOMA, the first stage of NOMA. And this is also the last stage when we can do still something against the lesion. If the child remains untreated, where the edema was will develop very rapidly in a few days a necrotic lesion. This necrosis is typical for NOMA disease. It is very well demarcated, and you can see here how it begins to lose from the rest of the tissues. In a few days, this necrosis will fall away, leaving a loss of substance. After, if the child survives, the lesion will heal. You can see that the necrosis was not only for the skin, but also for the underlying tissues, the muscles, and even the bone. The lesion will repair, but the scarring process in NOMA is a typical scarring process with a very firmly fibrous tissues, which can lead to the complete mouth closure, as Professor Pittet has told you before. Now, summarizing the different stages of the disease, we have to say that NOMA, the lesion, can be treated when it is treated before the deeper development of the proper NOMA. I mean during the necrotizing gingivitis or during the necrotizing stomatitis. Sometimes it can still be treated when the edema is there, but only if it is still limited. After, the treatment will save the life of the children, and not always, but will not act again the lesion itself. And it is important to note that the period during the treatment will be effective lasts only a few days. And due to the fact that children who are affected with NOMA lives in a very remote and poor area, sometimes they come too late for asking a treatment. And what is this treatment during the acute phase? First, it is to support the life of the children with hydration, nutrition, vitamins, and the treatment of associated infections or complications. The antibiotics are useful during the first stages of the disease until the edema, but when the necrosis is there, the antibiotics treatment will act against the deadly complications, but not against the lesion itself. So the etiology of this disease remains poorly known, but the risk factors are described, and that are essentially malnutrition, debilitating diseases, a compromised immunity, and a poor oral hygiene. All these words can be resumed with only one word, and it is poverty. So, the risk factors mainly described for NOMA disease is the malnutrition. And malnutrition is closely related with immunity. As symbolized on this picture, you can see that the immune system acts through different mechanisms to defend the host against infection. You have skin, B or T lymphocytes, complements, and this results in an immunocompetence. But in the case of malnutrition, all of these mechanisms are dysfunctional, leading to a huge immunodeficiency secondary to the malnutrition. And this deficiency is so important that we can speak about NAIDS, Nutritionally Acquired Immunodeficiency Syndrome. This condition is particularly important and relevant in babies born preterm and in low birth weight babies. I have here to mention that the proportion of low birth weight babies in some regions in Africa is up to 40% of the birth. And moreover, culturally, in some regions, the weaning is done in an abrupt manner. So from a day and the day after, the mother will not give milk anymore to the child. And this period of weaning represents a particular risk for these children who are already so undernourished. And it is the same period where the child can develop some other diseases, for example, the first attack of malaria or a measles. And this introduces the next risk factors for NOMA disease. I mean the debilitating diseases. Depending on the region and on the historical period, different diseases have been described in association with NOMA. Malaria, typhus, chickenpox, TBC, and more recently HIV and AIDS, especially in South Africa or Zimbabwe, where the prevalence of HIV infection is very high. But the two debilitating diseases which were more described in association with NOMA are malaria and measles. Let me say a few words about measles. The immunosuppression of measles is very important. It starts as soon after the resolution of the exanthema, and it lasts normally 2 to 6 weeks, but sometimes it can last up to 6 months. During this long period, there is a huge leukopenia with the disappearance of nearly 90% of the circulating lymphocytes. And you can easily imagine that such a condition in a low birth weight baby, in an undernourished young child, and often during a weaning period or during the first attack of malaria, can be deadly. So in Western country, measles means only missing school. But in Africa, there is a proverb who says, recount your children after measles has passed. So the last risk factor will be oral hygiene. It is obvious that lack of oral hygiene, like you can see in these two pictures, can lead to a simple gingivitis, which can sometimes evolve toward a necrotizing gingivitis and open therefore the door for the normal disease. Now, since their discovery, bacteria have been thought to play a role in the etiology of normal disease. Why? Because of the rapidity of evolution, because of the smell of the lesion itself, and finally because of the antibiotics response during the acute phase. So, later pause. As it was told before by Professor Pittet, in Geneva we had a surgical activity on Norma sequelae for many years. And just to say that for each of these children, the question was surely which surgical techniques will the surgical team use. But there is another question which comes for each of these children. It was why such a disease does exist, but we remain without any response during years. And finally, in the year 2000, thanks to a collaboration with an NGO, the NGO Sentinel, and thanks to a private funding, we were finally able to develop a research project to try to understand the etiology of this disease. So we are a multidisciplinary team in Geneva, and we have a local team in Niger. So to study the etiology of NOMA, we had to keep in mind that NOMA is a multifactorial disease and that perhaps bacteria play a role. So the aim of our study was to investigate the epidemiological risk factors for NOMA and to describe the oral microbiota of acute NOMA. So the design of the study was a prospective matched case control study. And I have to mention here that this was the first case control study about NOMA disease. The inclusion of the children took place in Niger, and the analyses were all done in Geneva. We did an epidemiological and a microbiological survey. So we included only acute cases of NOMA in children aged less than 12 years old. It is important to note that these were really acute cases, because in the literature you can find some studies reporting findings in microbiology of NOMA, but when you look at the cases included, sometimes they are already old cases, even sequelae of NOMA, and this is no sense when you are trying to study the microbiology. So we included only cases which who were developing the disease less than 4 weeks before. And the median delay of consultation, of inclusion, was of 8 days, which is very, very short when you consider the rapidity of the development of this disease and when you consider the areas from where these children come. So for each child included, our local team return in the village of this child to include 4 age-matched healthy children. And the design was done in that way because to avoid any bias related, for example, for differences, cultural differences or geographic or climatic differences between the pool of control children and between the cases. So each case of NOMA was matched with 4 age-matched control cases from the same village. And for each child, we filled out a questionnaire with epidemiological data, and we did a clinical exam, and we took biological samples. So in this table, you can see that we included 82 cases of NOMA and the corresponding controls. You see that the mean age of the children is very young, 3.8 for the NOMA. And you can see that we had no differences in the incidence between girls and boys. What is very important in this table is to compare the nutritional variables between the NOMA and the controls. And you can see that all the variables related to malnutrition, to nutrition, are significant. I mean that the NOMA group was more malnourished than the control children. And this was true not only for the variables regarding the acute malnutrition, this would be understandable because the child is sick, but this was true even more for the chronic malnutrition. And this means that these NOMA, these children who develop NOMA are more undernourished than the other children of the same age and of the same village. And that this malnutrition is a chronic malnutrition, which has affected the children for years before the development of the NOMA disease. I mean, from the early childhood and perhaps even before the birth. So in our multivariate analysis, we saw that the risk factors which are really evident for the NOMA disease are the signs of severe chronic malnutrition, an infectious disease in the past 3 months, and something new, something which was never described before, and it is the number of previous pregnancies in the mother of the NOMA children. I mean, the families where the NOMA develops have more siblings, the children have more siblings than the village children, and the mother has had more pregnancies with short intervals between the different pregnancies. And for the microbiological aspects, we proceeded with in two steps, first with the PCR and after with microarray. And we can see that there are two bacterial, the diminution of these two bacterial species and the increase of this one are associated with a major risk to have NOMA disease. So in conclusion, we had to say that there is no unique bacterial pathogen associated with NOMA, but we found an imbalance in the normal oral flora, and this imbalance, when it is associated with a chronic malnutrition and a recent febrile disease, increases the risk of NOMA disease. This imbalance consists in a diminution of bacterial diversity. And a new factor we can see with this study is the large number of siblings and the short intervals between the pregnancies. And this seems to facilitate the onset of NOMA. So we can imagine this vicious circle which could lead to NOMA disease. I mean, the frequent pregnancies in the mother, and remember that even the mother are not so well nourished in this region. So the frequent pregnancies in the mothers can lead to a maternal malnutrition during the pregnancy and a malnutrition in utero for the child who will be born, and with a growth retardation in utero and a low birth weight baby. After the birth, the baby will perhaps develop recurrent infections, especially digestive tract infections, which will lead to a chronic malnutrition of the baby until perhaps the development of edema. So I didn't have the time to show you other results of this study, but for those who may be interested, the study was published 2 years ago in the Lancet Global Health, and which is an open access journal. So I was asked to add some comments about Noma disease, some comments about the neglect which characterizes this disease. And for this, we have to do a little jump in the past. And recall that Noma is an old companion of mankind. It was already present in Europe and later in the USA over the centuries. But why Noma did disappear from Europe and not from Africa? And I think that the answer is not because of antibiotics. The answer would be because of improved welfare and because of the fact that in Europe, even the poorest can feed their children, but this is not the case in Africa. So Noma is a companion of mankind, and neglect is a companion of Noma. You have neglect because of social isolation and stigma. You have neglect because of lack of access to medical or acute care and to later surgical rehabilitation. You have lack of interest from scientific and medical communities. Noma is not included in the medical teaching programs. It is not included in the health and death statistics of concerned countries. And there is no interest from health policymakers for Noma disease. It was perhaps not the same in the past, because in 1649, Noma was listed in the first book about neglected disease, De Affectibus Omissis. But nowadays, Noma is even not considered from the WHO list of neglected diseases. So I think that with Noma, we are obliged to consider that Noma belongs to a special category of disease, the neglected disease. And we have to add that Noma has become a social indicator of extreme poverty, insufficient food, and human rights violations. In our recent publication of International Health, we mentioned that Noma is a human rights violation. Why? Because there is the right to health, the right to clean water, to sanitation, to adequate housing, and even the right to education or work. Because of stigma, the children with Noma and the adults with sequels of Noma cannot have access to school or to work. They cannot live. And they have no right to food, as it was advocated by Jean Ziegler. Jean Ziegler is a Swiss sociologist and is member of the advisory committee of the UN for the Human Rights Council. And thanks to his plea, the Human Rights Council in 2012 stated that Noma is the most brutal face of poverty and malnutrition in children, and it represents the worst violations of the rights of the child. So I think that we have to appeal for more scientific interest and more research on Noma, for inclusion of Noma in medical teaching programs, for more training for an early diagnosis and adequate treatment during the acute phase, for more surveillance programs in the countries where Noma cares, and for further support of humanitarian programs for surgical rehabilitation. So I will just thank my colleague and friends from the GESNOMA, Geneva Study Group on Noma, and thanks to the team of GESNOMA in Niger, to the NGO Sentinel, and to the Herzl Foundation, and to my service, the Service of Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery in Geneva. And I will not forget to thank the Noma patients who are never here at our conferences, and finally, the children. Thank you.